Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our National Business Solutions training call. This morning is Monday, February 24th, 2020. This is Mike Riches hosting the call here from the Dallas, Texas area. We want to welcome all of you to this final Business Solutions call of February. I can't believe that we're already 2 months down in 2020, but I'm going to tell you, we have got a phenomenal call lined up for you this morning. I'm so glad that so many folks are able to join us here live. I know we've got some folks that are listening to this call on playback as well. We've got none other than six-figure earner Mr. Chris Evans standing by, who's going to be our keynote speaker this morning. We're also joined by Mr. Mike Scott, who's got some updates, our article of the week, and I'm excited to hear from him, always keeping us updated with current events and things that are happening that we can use in our business. We're also going to do an overview of legal plan pricing on the call this morning, so stay tuned for that as well. I do want to just start the call by telling you we have got some very exciting events that are coming up here in the next few days, this week, so I want to make sure that we're talking about these. If you've got anyone in the Salt Lake City, Utah market, you definitely want to be sure to plug in. We've got Mr. Mark Riches, our $700,000 ring earner and millionaire club member many times over, a Platinum World Council member who's going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah this Saturday, the 29th. He's going to be conducting a special all-day training. So this is a chance to go spend a day with one of the top leaders in our industry, not just our company, but in our industry. And I would definitely invite you, if you are anywhere close to that area, if you can get there in a car or even in an airplane easily, I would encourage you to go and be a part of that event. This is something that that Mark is doing for the company. We're so grateful that he's willing to spend his time to go out and train, and we're just ecstatic for that event. So make sure that you're plugging into that. Myself, I'm going to be in a couple of cities this week. I'm going to be in Chicago, Illinois on Friday doing an all-day training. I would love to have you if you're anywhere in that Chicago market or, again, can get there easily. I'd love to have you. I know we've got folks that are driving several hours to be a part of that event, which is fine. They definitely live closer to Chicago than I live to Chicago, though. So I'm excited to be there and spend some time with those folks in Chicago. And then Saturday, I'm going to be in Detroit, Michigan, doing an all-day training there. So we're packing up on Friday night, taking a flight over to Detroit, and we'll be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Saturday morning to do an event there, and I'm excited for that event. So all of those details for those trainings, how do you register, the time, the location, all of those are on our team site, successteamworld.com. successteamworld.com, and when you log in to the associates section, just go to the events tab. It's the little icon with a calendar on it is the best way to get there at the top of the page. So just click on the events tab, and then you'll see the information for those events. You can click and you can register for those events. Of course, if you have any questions, please let us know, but we're excited to get to travel and get to go spend some time with our teams in these areas. And, of course, that's, you know, always the number one thing that we like to do at these events when we're training is we like to get to know people from our own team and get to spend some time with people from our own team in these different markets. So I'm excited for that. Definitely looking forward to those events. Of course, we've got the end of the month coming up this Saturday as well. So make sure that we've got all business in before those deadlines. We talk about this at the end of every month, but it's when you write a membership, when you sign somebody up on the legal plan or the identity theft plan, if you process their membership application on Monday versus processing it on Friday in this example, it probably won't make a huge difference for that member. I guess there are some unique cases where it could, but the vast majority of the time, the member's not going to really know the difference. If you upload a paper application, their effective date's going to be the same. because it's whatever is on that paper application. If you process it online, the effective date is going to be a couple of days later. But again, in the vast majority of cases, that's not going to affect the member waiting a day or two on their membership. But it can have a huge impact on you. If that membership puts you over the top for Performance Club points, or puts you over the top for Senior Director qualification, or puts you over the top for Executive Director qualification, or any number of other things that are counted on a monthly basis, then it does make a difference for you. And that can be the difference in winning a trip to a five-star resort, or it can be the difference in getting a $500 bonus every month, or it can be the difference in Executive Director could mean thousands of dollars to you in income, in real dollars. And so those are things that we want to take seriously. They're things that's why we talk about deadlines. That's why we talk about getting your business in. And frankly, it's why we talk about using the beginning of the month to focus on that, so that you're not running at the last second trying to get business in. But I've been in both of those scenarios. I've ED qualified the first day of the month, and I've ED qualified the last day of the month. It's easier and it's better for your overall general health to do it earlier in the month. But it's better to qualify the last day of the month than not qualify at all. It's better to be Performance Club qualified the last day of the month than not be Performance Club qualified. And so it is worth making a push. It's worth doing everything that we can, every last effort that we can make to get business in, to get it processed properly, to try to give ourselves some lead time, so that if there is an error in processing, a digit that's off on a social or an address or anything else, that you've got some time to fix it. Those are all things that you have to think about as a producer. I mean, those are things that, again, probably don't affect the end user in the vast majority of cases. But if it can make a difference, and for you, ED qualification, for example, is the difference in being not ED qualified and ED qualified, just getting that additional bonus on your production is about $25,000 or $30,000 a year at bare minimum. $25,000 to $30,000 a year is a significant chunk of change, and we want our associates to take that seriously. So that's why we talk about it. That's why it's worth taking time to make sure that you're getting business in by those deadlines, and that's why we'll continue to talk about that at the end of months moving forward. I want to take the call now up to Toledo, Ohio, where we've got standing by Mr. Mike Scott, who does such an exceptional job every week of sharing with us current events, things that are happening that we can use in our business. Mike, I'm looking forward to spending some time with you this Saturday. I know you will be up in Detroit, and looking forward to seeing you up there. I want to thank you for the time and effort that you put into preparing for this call every week. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn the call over to you, my friend.
Well, great. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that much, and I'm really looking forward to once again seeing Mike Riches perform in Detroit. It's kind of amazing. You get something new out of it each time, even if it's the same person. It's kind of a different point in your journey as you move along in your sales career and learning new things. And I always pick up great nuggets from Mike, and I appreciate him taking the time and traveling around the country to do these things. So, well, good morning, everybody. As we get a little bit further along in 2020, we get more information about last year's data breach totals and different things that are coming to light. And I think everybody here knows that healthcare data breaches are the fastest growing segment for hackers. This is because it's such a target-rich environment. Social Security numbers, addresses, insurance ID numbers, places of employment, and on and on. Think about the last time that you went to your doctor's office and you had to fill out the form, and all that personal information that you put on there all gets put into their data systems, and it's just rich and ripe for hackers to go after. So today's article is titled, Over 27 Million Affected by Healthcare Breaches Last Year. And I'll have this out on the Success Team website in the next couple of days. This is from Beta News. the interesting statistic here, you know, 27 million doesn't sound like a lot when you compare, you know, the hundreds of millions of data points that have been stolen. But what it's showing here is that there's a real trend going on with this, and that's that the data healthcare data breaches have more than doubled year over year. So we started with 4.7 million records in 2017, and then that jumped, almost tripled, to 11.5 million records in 2018. And then in 2019, we had 27.5 million records. So you can really just see huge trend here as far as them going after, again, this very target-rich environment. So, you know, decision makers as well as potential enrollees need to understand that not all ID theft is financial, and that these records could potentially be used to get medical procedures done as well. I think the thing that you need to remind everybody is that, you know, a typical monitoring system is only looking at financial, and they're not going to see that these things have been breached until it reaches a financial standpoint, right? So this is important that we're out there telling them about, you know, that we're watching more than just the financial side to it, because this can be a real heartbreaker for somebody that gets their information put out there. Also ran across another article that contained an interesting statistic that I'd like to share with you. This article is titled Noteworthy Data Breaches in 2019 and was put out by securityboulevard.com. And I'm just going to go ahead and read this quote, and the last line is just the real kicker for me. But 2019 was a banner year for breaches. Some of the biggest victims included social media heavy hitters Facebook and TikTok, as well as financial dynamo Capital One. They're just the tip of the iceberg, according to Forbes. Over 3,000 breaches in 2019 tallied to 4.1 billion compromised data records. Here's the one that I like that's coming out of this article. That's a whopping 22.5 million records stolen by cyber attackers every day last year. Let me repeat that. 22.5 million records stolen by cyber attackers every day of last year. So that article will also be out there, but I certainly am going to be using that statistic a lot out there, because I think that really reaches to the point of really showing people what an epidemic, and that's what this is an epidemic out there that we have. So anyways, that's what I have for today, and I appreciate the time, Mike, and everybody have a great day and happy selling.
Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for sharing that. That is fantastic information, as always. We really do appreciate you taking time every week to prepare that. And again, guys, it's great that Mike's willing to get on and share this. The question is, how are you and I taking these out and using them? Are we being relevant in the market? Are we talking about things that are current? You know, that's the great thing. It's been the great thing for years about something like identity theft, is even though ID Shield doesn't do a whole lot of advertising, there is advertising going on every day for both the legal plan and the identity theft in the form of these news articles and things that are happening and phone calls that are being made to people to let them know, or letters that are being sent to people to let them know that they're a victim of a data breach. It's already on people's minds. In fact, Chris Evans, I remember him talking about, you know, the problem is already there. The solution is what you and I need to bring to the table. And I always appreciated his insight and perspective on that, because he's right. And so, again, are we harnessing that? Are we benefiting from that? You might have someone that heard something about that article, but they didn't really understand what it was. Well, are you and I able to bring some of that to the table? And Mike, I just again appreciate I appreciate your time and your help on that. Well, folks, I'm so excited this morning, speaking of Mr. Chris Evans, to have someone this great on the call with us. And I don't say that lightly. Mr. Chris Evans is a phenomenal leader. Not only is he one of our top producers, not just in our team, but in the entire company, he had an incredible year of production last year, but he's someone that is always one of my favorite trainers. He's somebody that just is able to connect with people so well. That's what makes him great in a decision-maker meeting or in an enrollment. And we certainly see that when we have the opportunity to hear from him on these calls and at events. And it's just always incredible to be able to spend time and be able to learn from Mr. Chris Evans, who's got just a wealth of experience in this business. Over 15 years of being full-time with this company, of marketing these products, and we're just grateful for his leadership and for his example. Chris, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. We appreciate you and are definitely looking forward to hearing from you. I'll turn the call over to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that and appreciate every opportunity that I get to get on and share, because I feel like anytime that I get on and speak, I really am benefiting more in the fact that I'm learning. I going back and looking over some of my notes and, it's a good reminder for me as to what I've done and what I need to continue doing and really where I'm lacking and where I can grow. And I love any opportunity that I have to grow. So looking at what I was going to talk about this morning, I started reflecting on where I've been and where I've been and where I'm at now. There's been a journey, and I think that to really appreciate what I'm going to talk about today, it's important to understand where I've gone. It's really important to really appreciate what I'm going to share. I need to share my story and kind of how I got to this point and what I'm going to talk about. But I'm not going to share, anything new or groundbreaking probably, because I'm going back and sharing kind of some experiences and what I've done. I'll talk about some things that I've heard from others and learned from others, but I also want to talk about some things that I've personally experienced. And because of that, some of you are probably going to recognize some of the stories that I've shared, and they may not be new to you, but again, I feel like they're important. I've been involved with this company for 196 months, and that's very specific, but I know that I've been involved for 196 months because that's how many months it shows on my Performance Club counter. Anytime anybody asks me how long I've been in, that's what I can look at and know. I've never missed Performance Club. It was something that when I got started, it was just expected. I thought that's what we had to do to be in the company. We had to do that, and I had made that commitment that I was never going to miss Performance Club. And, I've had some ups and I've had some downs and, a lot of twists and turns along the way. And my focus has changed sometimes as far as different types of presentations I was doing. My focus has changed from, recruiting to selling to public speaking to a lot of different things. But one thing that's never changed is that consistency in that Performance Club. Always kept moving forward. And I think that's a big key in this business is that, stay plugged in and always keep moving in the right direction. And also, never base your journey on anybody else's. I see that a lot. People put so much into what other people think that they let it affect their business, in my opinion, in a negative way. I was talking with somebody just over the weekend, and they were in another company, and they were talking about some of the goals. And it was interesting listening to them because I kind of got the perspective of them not being involved with our company, but somebody that was influenced by kind of the same type of people telling them what they should be doing and kind of their goals. And I'm a big fan of big goals. I mean, you can dream a big goal just as you can a small goal. But he made the comment to me that he was going to be a millionaire by the end of the year. And, it really came across to me in a negative manner because I could tell that he set a goal based on what other people were were thinking. Now, does that mean that he can't? Does that mean that we can't? No. But I could tell that he wasn't putting the value of time into his goal. See, when we set a goal, we have to factor in that time. A lot of people have no concept in the value of time. When someone like that tells me that they're going to be a millionaire and by the end of the year, I know that they don't understand the value of time. And the reason, again, that people make those goals and they say things like that is because of what they think other people are going to think. And we have to get past that. See, people put more, they put way more value on what other people think and what they're going to get than who they're going to become. So when you understand the value and the power of time in shaping who you become, what you're going to get is going to follow. And the reason I share that is because there's a danger in jumping on a call like this, getting some motivational, hearing about the success that somebody else has had, and you base your success level on did you achieve the same results that they did in the time that they did. And a lot of times we don't hear the negative. We don't hear the rejection. We don't hear that they've got the same troubles, the same struggles that each one of us has. We don't hear those type of things. And so on my journey, there were a lot of roadblocks and a lot of bumps and a lot of negative things that were happening that I didn't really understand that were part of the business. But one thing that I did understand that I had made a commitment to was that I wasn't going to quit. I wasn't going to give up. I was going to continue pushing forward in that way. And, you know, to talk about some of the down points in a business, there was a time that I had, you know, a very low persistency. I couldn't figure out, you know, why people were canceling their membership and why things were down for me. I remember that, you know, I woke up one morning, I had a company that had canceled on me. And I had a very large negative balance in my cash accrued. I had the company had actually moved me to an as earn because my persistency was so low. But that was a moment for me that I had, again, made that commitment and said, okay, I need to figure this out. I need to figure where things are going wrong. And that's where I want to kind of lead to. I hope nobody hangs up at this point depressed and ready to quit. But I want you to know that there are some things that we can do. And I remember one time attending a training, and this was not even a Legal Shield training. This was just a business training. And the speaker had gotten up, and he was talking about what are some things that we look for when we choose to follow somebody or associate with somebody or do business with somebody. What are some of the things that we look for? And there were so many different responses that people had. And as they responded to these things, they were put up on this board, you know, and it was things like, you know, somebody that has a good sense of humor. It was, you know, somebody that I trust, somebody with integrity, somebody. And it was going through all these different things. And not once did it say the person that has the sharpest looking website. Not once did it say the person that has the best-looking brochure. Not once did it say the person that can stand in front of a room and recite all the facts. Somebody that, you know, things that we typically are looking for as a indicator of how successful we're going to be. You know, for example, there's a lot of times I hear people say things like, well, you know, if I could get this brochure or if I could get this flyer, if I could get this, you know, I could do more business. But, you know, when I sat there and looked at all these different things, then they brought it back around that said, you know, hey, these are the things that you're looking for. But why do we look for other things? Why don't we put more focus on this? Why don't we do more personal development that's going to strengthen these things? And so I understood that concept and really realized that one of the areas that I was lacking was on putting the focus on the type of person that other people want to do business with. See, I was looking for the kind of person that I want to do business with, but was I becoming the kind of person that other people wanted to do business with? And so it's important to understand that relationships are key in this business. I would go so far as to say that relationships are the most important part of this business. Relationships are more important than having the best presentation. Relationships are more important than having the best looking brochures. Relationships are more important than the types of companies that you're calling on, the number of employees that you're speaking to. Overall, relationships are going to lead you to everything else that's going to be successful in your business. So why are relationships so key? Number one, understand this. People are going to quit a product or a service long before they're going to quit a friend. If you want your persistency to increase the value of your relationships. You know, I talked about how at one point that my persistency was so low that I was moved to an as-earned as opposed to advanced commission payout structure. You know, now, instead of my reserve balance being depleted and having a negative balance, you know, a few short years after that I was that down and that low, I had maxed out my reserve balance. I had earned a six-figure income. You know, so it's important to understand that those relationships, by doing a small few adjustments, are going to make a huge difference in your business. It completely changed my business. You know, again, so you're going to save those memberships because people will reach out to you when they have issues. People are going to talk to you. Also, they're going to look for recommendations. How many of you have ever wanted to see a movie and you started looking at reviews on it? And the reviews were horrible. But there was somebody that you knew and somebody that you trusted, a friend of yours that might have the same similar taste that you have or things like that. And they said, oh, no, this movie is great. I saw this movie. It was really good. And you say, boom, that's all I needed to know. People go to restaurants based on recommendations. People go to movies based on recommendations. They watch shows. They read books. They really do everything in life based on the recommendations of people that they know, people that they like, people that they trust. And when we're that person, we can make those recommendations. And guess what those people have that we don't have? They have other friends that we may not know that they will make recommendations to. HR people, who do HR people know and associate with? Other HR people. Decision makers go to meetings with other decision makers. So you're going to get more referrals because they're not going to refer somebody to a product or a service as much as they're going to refer somebody to somebody that they know or somebody that they trust. People will always refer a friend before they'll refer a product. See, they understand, and you need to understand the value of those relationships. Also, if you don't have a relationship with an HR director or an employee, let's say you don't have a relationship with an employee and they leave their company, you know, there's a possibility that you're going to now have a canceled membership. But if you've got a relationship or a friend that leaves a company, instead of a cancellation, you're going to get a whole new company. Because they can get you into that new company. They can get you to their HR person. They can, if you're HR director. I had just here recently a lady who was an HR director at a company who I've had a very good relationship with. And I'm going to share some things here in just a moment on what I did to strengthen and build those relationships. But she contacted me to let me know that she was leaving the company and to tell me the new company that she was going to. She was an HR director, big HR director, and is going to another big company and wants me to come in and offer the benefit to that company as well. That came from relationships. If I had not had the relationships, if I had just gone in, opened the group, and sent them an email once a year asking if I can come in, I wouldn't have gotten that type of response from them. But because I had that relationship, you're going to get those type of things. Really, when it comes down to it, you have to understand that people are like bank accounts. You have to look at people like a bank account. And here's the big problem that I see that most people will do in that kind of analogy is that understanding someone like a bank account, they will go and they will try to get a withdrawal from that account. But the thing is, you cannot get a withdrawal from an account that you have not made a deposit into. And why would we conduct our business going around trying to make withdrawals from all these accounts that we have not taken the time to make deposits into? See, too many times as well, I hear people say things like, you know, I don't want to sell to anybody that I have a relationship with. You know, if I know them, I don't want to sell them. I don't want to sell to anybody that I got a relationship with. Instead, here's the question you should, or here's what you should be saying, a question you should be asking yourself: how can I create a relationship with those that I want to sell to? That's the key. You have to create those relationships. So let's talk about a couple of things that we can do to increase those relationships. What are some things that we can do to get that? Number one, I always try to meet an individual either through an introduction or through an event. You know, I have opened up a lot of companies, and I can't count, you know, more, I would say more than 95% of those companies I contacted or I got into because of a relationship that I had before. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody that you go fishing with on the weekend or, you know, somebody that you've known for years. It could be that you've just met them, you've struck up a conversation with them. It could be somebody that you met through a PTO meeting at school. It could be somebody that you know personally that and they introduced you to the decision maker or got you into their company. So get involved. Get involved with different things in your community. You know, coach Little League teams. I know that seems crazy to think as a prospecting technique, but, you know, one year I was asked to coach. My daughter was playing softball. This was years ago, and I checked, there was a little box that said, are you willing to help out if needed? And so I thought, you know, yeah, I'd be willing to bring some, you know, juice boxes or whatever. That's what I thought, you know, help if we needed to meant. But when I checked that box and they called me a couple days later and say, okay, you're the coach, I wasn't ready for that. But here's what I quickly found was that every Little League team was sponsored by a local business. And I got the opportunity to associate with local business owners. And I had the opportunity to talk to business owners. And I got some business from that. It wasn't necessarily my intention going into that, but I certainly capitalized on that. But there's all kinds of different things like that in your communities. Your communities are full of organizations, you know, chambers of commerce. Volunteer. Get on a committee. Why do you want to get on a committee? Go to your local chamber and get on a committee there, because it's full of other volunteers of other local business owners. You're going to be able to network with other people and create those relationships that are non-solicitory. You know, people, and we say this all the time, people love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And the second that you've labeled yourself as a salesperson, or even worse, the second that they've labeled you as a salesperson, it's a lot harder to overcome that. So I always love, again, creating those relationships beforehand. So again, volunteer at chamber events, volunteer to speak at maybe local events. You can contact your local chamber, Lions Club, Rotary Club. These are all things that are going to get you in front of people, get you meeting other people, and get you to somebody that might be able to get you to somebody. Even if you create a relationship or strike up a conversation with somebody that's not a decision maker, they can more than likely get you to a decision maker. And again, I'm not saying don't cold call, not by any stretch of the imagination. Don't put that in your notes that, okay, he said don't cold call. I'm just saying, for me, that's what worked, my warm market. And if you sit there and say, well, do I want to do warm market or do I want to do cold market? The answer is yes. I've gotten business from cold market. I've gotten business from warm market. Here's what you don't want to do. Focus so much on whether to do warm market or cold market that you do no market. You know, get out there, get busy. Always, again, keep moving in the right direction. We just, football season ended, and you know, Peyton Manning, I was reading a thing by him recently, and he said, whether it's inch by inch by or yard by yard, the key to success in football as well as life is that you always moving towards the goal. And so, again, that's what we want to do. We want to always make sure that we're staying in the game, staying committed, and keep moving forward. Another thing that you want to do to help create these relationships and strengthen these relationships is communication. It's so critical that when we meet with someone and that we're talking with someone, that we kind of change the way that we think about communication. See, a lot of us go in and we're trying to develop a strong sales pitch, and they want to work on their sales pitch. And I hear that, you know, hey, I need a better sales pitch. What's my sales pitch? Stop with the sales pitch and start with the conversations. See, you need to get in there and have a conversation. And when they're talking, are you listening to understand, or are you listening to respond? So many times, and I've been guilty of this, until I really started noticing this and really started putting some focus on paying attention to how I was acting in this conversation, you know, they will start talking. The other person, the HR person, the decision maker will start talking, and I was already planning out what I was going to say. I was already planning out what needed. The second that they said something that, you know, I knew was a good selling point for me, boom, I was working on that in my head. Stop doing that. You need to listen to somebody to understand where they're coming from instead of listening to them to react. The more we are talking, this is critical. The more that we are talking, the less they're talking. You know, the more that they're talking, the less we're talking. The more that they're talking, the less we're selling. The less we're selling, the more they're buying. And so in a roundabout way, if we want to sell more, we need to talk less. So again, communication is key. Allow them to talk. Allow them to sell you on why they want the service. Allow them to sell you on why they want to offer this benefit in their company. Another key is always be on. You know, what I mean by that is we can turn on the smile, we can turn on the positive disposition when we walk through those front doors, when we sit down with the HR director, when we sit down with the decision maker. But understand that if you were a jerk to the employee in the parking lot because, you know, they took a parking spot that you were trying to get, or you cut somebody off in traffic when you were on the way to get there and it turns out to be the gatekeeper, those are things that are going to be hard to overcome. You are always on. When you stand in front of a room and you give a presentation, you've connected with those people, they're going to know who you are. And when you leave that company and you're at a grocery store, I've met people in public, out at stores, just doing the things that I've met before, and they'll come up and talk to me, and I'll talk to them. And that's how you're creating those relationships outside of that business. But if you're only on when you're sitting in a presentation, you're not going to have the increase in those relationships, I promise, because all it takes, people are looking for a reason to not like you. Don't give it to them. Okay, that's what you got to understand. Do not give somebody a reason to not like you. So, again, always be on. Another thing that I found is critical is gifts. People don't always expect gifts. Anytime you do the unexpected, they're going to remember you. Anytime you do the unexpected, they're going to appreciate you. You have to do the unexpected. You know, I learned from Mike when you're about lunches, and at the end of the luncheon, bringing out a dessert. You know, and the reason was it was unexpected. Like, people at a luncheon will expect to come to a lunch or whatever, but, you know, when you can pull out some cheesecake or something like that, that's unexpected. Same thing with gifts. A lot of companies will get gifts from their vendors around the holiday season, but is there something that you can do outside of the holiday season? Here's one thing that I know. Every time someone fills out an application and they turn it in, one of the pieces of information they put on there is their birthday. imagine surprise when you show up on their birthday, you know, that gatekeeper, that person that sits at the front desk who rarely gets the gifts. You know, there's usually somebody who's a decision maker up on high that might be getting these gifts, but the people that are doing the day-to-day work for you may not get as appreciated. Make sure you're appreciating them. And when you walk in the door with a gift, a cupcake from, you know, one of these fancy cupcake spots, or a nice cookie tray, that's unexpected as well. See, sometimes I'll come in, if I know that somebody's having a birthday and there's three or four other people that work right there in their vicinity, I'll bring in a gift for that person, but I'll bring a gift that they can share with the others. Those are the things that are going to create those relationships. Gifts around the holiday season. I remember this right before Christmas, at the end of November, beginning of December, I had bought probably $1,000 worth of chocolates and truffles, and I had a whole operation going where I had cards and gift cards, and I wrote a handwritten note in every one of those. And here's the thing. Not one of those cards did I sign Legal Shield. In other words, I didn't put Chris Evans, Legal Shield representative. Why? Because these are people that I've created enough relationship with that they know me as Chris Evans. When I call companies right now and they answer the phone and they've got the caller ID, they'll answer, "Hey, Chris, how's it going?" Because, again, we've built that relationship. I don't have to pick up the phone a lot of these companies and say, "Hey, this is Chris Evans. I represent your Legal Shield benefit or your ID Shield benefit." If I just say, hey, Charlotte, it's me, it's Chris Evans, you know, they know exactly who I am, created those relationships. And I've done that by keeping in communication with them more than just an email once a year saying, "Hey, it's been a year since we've been to see you. When can I come in?" Or showing up to their open enrollment. When you give somebody a gift at any time of the year, you're not sending them a gift to thank them for the business that they've done with you. You're sending them a gift to thank them for the business that they're going to do with you, the business that they're going to continue sending you. If you want HR directors to send you applications every month from their new enrollees, you got to have better relationships. You know, if you want to have HR directors contacting you to tell you, "Hey, we've got somebody that's interested in this benefit because they've talked it up," you've got to create those relationships. And so part of that for me was those gifts. And then also one of the things that you want to do is exactly what you said you were going to do. Now, what does that mean? If you say, you know, "Hey, I'll give you a call at 3 p.m., you give them a call at 3 p.m. If you're talking with someone on the phone and they ask for some information and you say, "You know, let me look into that and I'll get back with you," you really need to do that. In fact, right there when it's fresh on your mind, work on that. And I've been guilty of this many times in the past, you know, where I'll say, you know, they'll ask me a question. I'll say, "You know, that's a great question. Let me see if I can get an answer to that." Or, "Yeah, I think I've got something with that information. Let me get that and email that to you." Those are things that, you know, sometimes in the past I would overlook or I would forget. And then, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, when I remembered it and reached back out to them, you know, it's too late. I've already developed that reputation of somebody who isn't going to do what they say they're going to do. If you say you're going to do something, if you say you're going to call them, if you say you're going to email them, if you say you're going to find out, make sure that you do it. Intentionally or not, if you say that you're going to do something and you don't, you're going to lose their trust. You're going to be unable to build that relationship or in turn open that group or in turn get that referral. So make sure that you are reliable. And then the biggest thing, the most important thing I think with relationships is understand that you are the asset. You are the most valuable resource that you have. When we talk about branding and we talk about, you know, Legal Shield and their brand and their brochures and their materials and all of that, understand that those are nice. Those are great, but they're not the most valuable thing that you have. You know, we hear people say all the time, "Hey, you don't have to worry about anything. This membership is going to sell itself." I kind of cringe at that a little bit because that's just not true. This membership doesn't sell itself. If the membership sold itself, then Legal Shield would have no need for us, right? there would be a mass mailing company. They would send the information out, or they would blast the online with, you know, videos. But here's what Legal Shield understands. We are the greatest asset. You as an individual are the most important part of your business because you can create that relationship with that individual. And when I'm sitting down with a decision maker and I'm talking with them, I'm going to tell them that. Here's what sets us apart from every other service out there. Here's what's going to set us apart from every other company out there is that you have me. I'm going to give you my cell phone. When one of your employees has an issue, they can call me, and I'm going to be available for them. If I don't answer, they can shoot me a text. They can call me. They can email me. But I'm going to be a liaison for that individual. Now, some of you might say, well, we've got a great customer service department at Legal Shield. Why wouldn't you want them to have customer service? I do want them to, and when they call me, a lot of times I will send them to customer service. But anytime they contact me, that's an opportunity for me to create that relationship. The more relationships you have within a company, the more valuable you become to that company. The more opportunities you're going to have to be invited to that company. The more opportunities you're going to have to get referrals from that company to other companies. The more opportunities you're going to have to, again, grow your business on an overall scale. And as you are that asset, understand the most important part of all the attitudes, of all the relationships, is authenticity and sincerity. Bill Stovall, he said it best in the training. He's one of the top producers in all of Legal Shield, Millionaire Club member, six-figure ringer. But Bill Stovall said that authenticity will beat polish every single time. You have to be sincere. You have to be humble, and you have to be appreciative. One of the things that, you know, when someone would do something for me, or they would set, when I would set up a meeting and they would say something or give me something that I wanted, I used to say, I really appreciate that, or thank you, I appreciate it. Here's something I would challenge you to start doing. When you're talking with somebody, you know, whether it's an employee or whether it's a decision maker, or whether it's that gatekeeper who gets that appointment for you, whatever the situation is, when they say something to you or do something for you, instead of saying, I appreciate it or I appreciate that, start saying, I appreciate you. When I started implementing that, it made a huge difference in the way people started responding to me. And be sincere about it. I truly am grateful and appreciative because I understand that the food that goes onto my table, for the presents that go under my Christmas tree around the holidays, for the trips that I'm able to take, are all because of those relationships that I've built with those individuals. If you want to see an increase in your business, increase your relationships and be sincere about the appreciation that you have for those that help you. Because when you are sincere and you do appreciate that, they will continue to help you and your business will continue to grow. So with that, I appreciate the time, and I will get that back over to you, Mike.
Well, that was absolutely incredible, Mr. Evans. Thank you so much for sharing that this morning. And again, just nugget after nugget of real. You talk about authenticity. These are authentic experiences that you have that you've learned from. And just such incredible training information that you shared with us here this morning. Thank you so much for that and for preparing those thoughts. And I just could not agree more that relationships are the key, they are the thing that drives our business. I mean, without relationships, without that ability to form and develop and continually strengthen relationships, we're never going to have the success that we're capable of, or we're never going to, as a company, experience the growth that we know that we have the potential for. I really like how Chris talked about responsiveness. To me, that's one of the most important aspects of professionalism is being responsive. And I really appreciated how he talked about at the end there of his training. He talked about, you know, telling that decision maker, I'm going to give you my cell phone number. I want you to reach out to me. If one of your employees has an issue, I want you to reach out to me. And I like how he talked about, you know, yes, we have a customer service department at Legal Shield, but it's just that, again, that responsiveness, that relationship, that professionalism of you being involved, you showing care and compassion, that makes the biggest difference. And you may never get a call from some groups. You'll probably get a call from some people at some time. But I know this, I've given my number out to a lot of decision makers. I've given my number out to a ton of employees over the years. My phone's not ringing off the hook. I mean, I don't get a call super often from people. But it's, again, it goes back to, do they feel comfortable doing business with you? Do they feel comfortable giving you access to their employees? Because at the end of the day, if you get in and you don't do a very good job, it's their reputation that's on the line. I'm talking about a decision maker of a company. It's their reputation that's on the line. So if they don't feel comfortable with that, they're probably not going to let you in. But it's those little details that make the difference. It's when you're willing to put yourself out there and say, yes, I want to be that first line of defense. I want to be involved in this group. I want to help your employees. I want to be hands-on. Them feeling that and feeling that in an authentic and sincere way can make all the difference. So, Chris, you said that a whole lot better than I just tried to recap it, but I really do appreciate you sharing that. And again, your experience and your wisdom is just unparalleled. We really do appreciate your leadership. Before we end the call, folks, I wanted to take just a minute and do a review of pricing. You know, I was thinking about this last week. When I got started as an associate, we had two price points. And it doesn't really matter what those price points were, but it was a dollar difference because we had just added a feature that you could add into the legal plan, and it was a dollar more. And so, you know, most of the time, because it was only the difference of a dollar, we just went with the second price point. But that was my learning curve, is I had to learn two different price points. I haven't figured out exactly how many price combinations we have today, but it's more than two. So I was just thinking about that last week. I think sometimes that can be a little bit overwhelming. It can be a little bit confusing, the different price points that we have. And I know that myself, when I don't feel 100% confident in that I'm saying the right thing, my natural tendency is to withdraw and not engage. And so I have a feeling that I'm probably not the only one that feels that way. So I want to just take some time, maybe over the next two or three calls, to focus on different elements of the plans that we offer, specifically on pricing, because I want you to feel 100% confident that when you go out that you know what your pricing options are. One thing that I'll just tell you from the get-go is, like today, we're going to talk about the legal plan and the three different price points that are available in most states for the legal plan. I don't ever go into a group, though, and offer three different price points. I don't ever go into a decision-maker meeting and say, hey, here are the three prices. Which would you prefer? I make that decision well before I ever sit down with a decision-maker and a whole long time before I ever would present to the employees. What I would, in fact, recommend is that you decide what price point you want to offer and have that price point be the thing that you offer 99.9% of the time. And I say 99.9 because there may be an exception here or there. Maybe you get a conservation group that has older pricing. But if you've got a price point that you're going to use 99.9% of the time, you're going to be familiar with it. You're going to be comfortable with it. You're going to know not just the monthly number, but you're going to know the weekly number, the biweekly number, the semi-monthly number, so that when you're in groups that have different payroll cycles, you can speak those employees' language. And so let me just cover with you again, just as a review, the three different price points for the legal plan. And again, this is in most states. If you're in New York, it's going to be different. If you're in Massachusetts, it's going to be different. I believe maybe in Nevada it's a little bit different, but I might be wrong in saying that. And in Hawaii, it's going to be a little bit different. But in most states, this is going to be the price point. These are the three options for price point that you're going to have: $18.95, $20.95, and $23.95. $18.95, $20.95, and $23.95. And if you want to jot that down, if you're taking notes this morning, that might be a good idea. We also have a pricing document in our B2B docs. So if you go to Docs on Demand, there's a pricing document that's going to show you these three different options. But those are the three different options, $18.95, $20.95, and $23.95. So, of course, the question that we always get is, what's the difference? What's the difference in those three different plans? Well, I can tell you the $20.95 and the $23.95, there is absolutely no difference in coverage. Here's the difference. You're going to make a little bit more commission on the $23.95 because it's a more expensive plan. It's the same commission rate that you make on both of those plans. So if you make, for example, 40% at your level, you're going to get 40% at $20.95, you're going to get the same percentage at $23.95. It used to be that that was different, but it's not anymore. It's the same commission rate. It's the exact same coverage, the $20.95 and the $23.95 plan. Because of that, you can make a decision on, you know, are you going to focus on getting larger commissions, or are you going to focus on giving, you know, a better value for those employees? And that's your option. That's your choice as the associate. There is a minor difference in coverage between the $18.95 plan and the other two. That $18.95 plan, there is a 15-day waiting period for speeding tickets. So if somebody signs up for the $20.95 plan today and they get a speeding ticket today, that's going to be covered. If their effective date is today and they get a speeding ticket today or tomorrow, that's going to be covered. If they sign up for that $18.95 plan today and their effective date is today, and they get that speeding ticket tomorrow, technically it would not be covered under their plan. And so there is that. They have to wait 15 days to get a speeding ticket or any kind of moving traffic violation. And that's really the biggest difference. They also do, under the two top-tier plans, well, I say top-tier, the two more expensive plans, they also do a financial power of attorney. That was another coverage that they added in there. But what we found is that the law firm in most states does that under the $18.95 plan as well. So that's not as big of a difference. But that 15-day waiting period on speeding tickets is a difference. So what you need to do is decide what's going to be my plan of choice. And I don't necessarily want to influence that decision, but I'll share with you my decision. My decision when they came back and decided that they were going to offer the $18.95 plan again was to go with that $18.95 plan. I like the rate. I like the price point. To me, that's a good price point for groups. It's just over $4 a week. So for an employee that's paid weekly, that's manageable, that's digestible. They can handle a little over $4 a week. But that $18.95 plan is the plan that's my plan of choice. That's the plan that I'm going to offer 99.9% of the time. I feel like I'm giving the best value to employees when I do that. It's just that's a good plan. I'm assuming kind of the risk of that 15-day waiting period, and I'll definitely point that out in my enrollment, that maybe some of that is I've been around for 17 and a half years, and they didn't offer that $23.95 plan until just 2 years ago. So for the bulk of that 17 and a half years, there was always a 15-day waiting period on speeding tickets. And frankly, I don't really mind a 15-day waiting period on speeding tickets because I don't really want to encourage somebody to sign up today just because they got a speeding ticket. So I don't mind that that's in place. So that's my thinking. But again, I'm not trying to influence your thinking. If you say, you know what, I'm going to just offer the $23.95 plan, that's fine. Again, my advice would be find one of those price points, $23.95, $20.95, or $18.95, and make a decision that that's going to be your plan of choice. That's what you're going to offer 99.9% of the time. And again, if there's an exception, there's an exception out there. But that way you become familiar with that price point. So if I sit down with a decision maker today, I'm very confident in saying the legal plan is $18.95 a month for your employees. That's the group rate. That also represents just another part of my thinking there. that represents obviously the biggest discount from the retail rate. The retail rate on that legal plan is $24.95. So we're giving them about a 25% discount off of retail, which is huge. And I found that that's something that I can sell in a group of employees. It's also something, maybe more importantly, that I can sell to a decision maker, especially an HR person, but even an owner of a company. They like saving their employees money. And that gives them a reason to say, yes, you can offer to the benefit. One of those objections that we've had in the past is, if my employees want this, I'll just let them just go buy it on their own. And that helps overcome that objection. When we can offer them a 25% discount, when you offer it as an employee benefit, that's a really compelling reason for that decision maker to say, yes, I'm going to offer this to my employees. I'm going to let you come in and talk to my employees. So, again, that's all kind of my line of thinking of choosing that $18.95. That's going to be my plan of choice moving forward. But I just would encourage you to choose one of those rates. Understand that the others are out there, but choose one that's going to be your rate that you offer to your groups. And again, 99.9% of the time, that's going to be the rate that you offer. And that will help boost your confidence when you go into these decision maker meetings and certainly into these enrollments as well. Again, we'll kind of cover some different options and different pricing maybe over the next 2 or 3 weeks as well. I just want to take a couple, a few minutes in each call and just kind of build your confidence in that particular area. And again, feel free to download that pricing chart that we've got in the B2B doc. That's another good thing that you can hang on your wall and just kind of review to make sure that that you know and are confident in the numbers and the pricing that you're giving out to folks. With that, again, I want to thank Mr. Mike Scott for sharing it with us, again, our current events for the week. And a huge thank you to Mr. Chris Evans for his exceptional training that he did with us here this morning. We really do appreciate his leadership. Hoping to be able to see many of you this week as I'm traveling to Chicago and Detroit. Again, get those details on successteamworld.com. Again, looking forward to my brother Mark's training in Salt Lake City as well. With that, thank you to each of you for joining the call this morning. God bless all of you, and we'll talk to you soon.